Well, good evening. Hello, little children. It's August 1st, 2023. The time is 19:34 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I forgot to start recording. I've done the whole video without, almost the whole video without turning on the recording. Ward Green with you here again, and it's Carl Jung saying, this is a quote from him, "The meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed." The Chinese philosopher Sun Tzu said, "Great results can be achieved with small forces." And Mark Twain, the American writer, said, "The most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why." And today's song is from Carlos Santana, playing a guitar quite similar to this Les Paul standard from 1968, I believe it is. It's either 66 or 68, according to what some people have said. But I think this particular version of it, let me see if I can find it now. Right. Well, maybe he played a different guitar when he made the recording, but this video that we're going to watch is a live performance. We're going to see Carlos playing a guitar very much like the Les Paul standard there, but it's probably a custom version of it. And not sure if I have it here. Oh, here it is, I think. Let's see, maybe it's here. Yeah, let's see. It's a 1968. 1968 Les Paul standard. That's what this one is. And the guitar he's playing in the video has a more clean headstock, it looks like. But it's very similar to this one. This is a black and white photo, so we don't get the full impact. Let's start the video. Let's talk about it first. But this video is from 1970, it says. The video might not be from 1970, actually, but the audio is from 1970, I believe. And it's from a single release that we're going to talk about here, which was by Carlos from their 1970 album called Abraxas. The title means Samba for You. It was released as a single in 1973, and it achieved number 11 in the Netherlands on the chart, number 43 on the German charts, number 27 on the UK singles chart, and it was the first single to chart in the United Kingdom for Carlos Santana. He wrote it after witnessing a jazz saxophonist playing in the street outside his apartment. To quote Carlos, "Samba Pati was conceived in New York City on a Sunday afternoon. I opened the window and saw this man in the street. He was drunk, and he had a saxophone and a bottle of booze in his back pocket. And I kept looking at him because he kept struggling with himself. He couldn't make up his mind which one to put in his mouth first, the saxophone or the bottle, and I immediately heard a song. I wrote the whole thing right there." So this is one performance by Carlos and his band, which is called Santana, his band. And it was, I don't know when the performance was done. It may have been around this time. He's playing this guitar that looks like the 1968 Les Paul made by Gibson, but it seems to be a custom version. The pick guard seems to be a custom version. So it's probably a custom guitar similar to the Les Paul. Probably still called a Les Paul Custom or something like that. But he's performing the song, which is called Samba Pati.
Thank you.
As you may have noticed, the playing of Carlos on the guitar there in the video doesn't match the audio because it was a different performance. But I actually saw Carlos perform this song and a number of other songs in concert in the late 70s, probably 1978 or 79. And it was in Kingston, actually, that concert, Kingston, Ontario. And it was extremely memorable. I remember he had, including the tambourine player and the bongo drum player and some other people, you know, who they played. They had, I think they had congas and others. They had many, like kettle drums or whatever they're called. Many types of Latin percussion. There were six different types of percussion in that concert. I remember counting them because there were so many of them I wanted to remember how many there were. And that was also something I remember. In the Born and Raised article, in our study today, we have chapter 3, paragraph 7. John was the son of a Levite, Zechariah, who served as priest at the Second Temple in Jerusalem at this time. One of the requirements in the law of Moses at Numbers 4 and 3 was that Levites begin official service at age 30. Jesus, though not a Levite, does service prophetically according to the manner of Melchizedek, king priest. This makes the age of 30 years the proper age for both John the Baptizer and Jesus Christ to begin preaching. Now, in the Septuagint, in both places where it mentions the age of the Levites starting to serve, it says 25 years was the starting age. However, the age of 30 is mentioned in one of the places in the book of Numbers, in the Masoretic text, the Hebrew text. Therefore, we have reason to believe that 30 is probably the age when they began to serve more seriously, and that the age of 25 was the beginning of their training. And we think that also because at the age of 50, they retired, the Levites did, from service, but they continued to serve in a lesser capacity after the age of 50. So this seems reasonable for that reason, that 30 was the age for the beginning of their true service. The fall of 26 CE for the baptism of Jesus makes birth in BCE 6 a definite possibility, as we already showed in paragraph 3:6 above. And he can be between 30 and 31 years old in 26 CE with a late BCE 6 birth. The next consideration is the death of King Herod, the king who ordered the killing of boys shortly after the birth of Jesus, specifying an age 2 years and under. So in the previous paragraph, we mentioned in paragraph 3:6a above that with Jesus baptized in the year 26 CE, which we established, having also established first that his death was in 30 CE, we then have a birth for him, very possibly in late BCE 6. And that means that he would then be between the ages of 30 and 31 years old in 26 CE, which is exactly what the book of Luke tells us, that he was about 30 years old, specifically. So that's the end of our study here in the Born and Raised article for today. Now, we're going to do part of Numbers, hopefully, from Numbers, not Numbers 12. It's Numbers 32. Now the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad had come to have numerous livestock, very many in fact, and they began to see the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, and look, the place was a place for livestock. Hence the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben came and said this to Moses and Eleazar the priest and to the chieftains of the assembly. Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleale and Sebam and Nebo and Beon, the land that Jehovah defeated before the assembly of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. And they went on to say, if we have found favor in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. Then Moses said to the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben, are your brothers to go to war while you yourselves keep dwelling here? And why should you dishearten the sons of Israel from crossing into the land that Jehovah will certainly give them? That is the way your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. When they went up to the torrent valley of Eshcol and saw the land, then they disheartened the sons of Israel so as not to go into the land that Jehovah was certain to give them. Consequently, Jehovah's anger blazed on that day so that he swore, saying, the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old upward will not see the soil of which I have sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not followed me wholly, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh of the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, because they have followed Jehovah wholly. So Jehovah's anger blazed against Israel, and he made them wander about in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that was doing evil in the eyes of Jehovah came to their end. And here you have risen in the place of your fathers as the brood of sinful men in order to add further to the burning anger of Jehovah against Israel. In case you should turn back from following him, he also would certainly once again let them stay longer in the wilderness, and you would have acted ruinously toward all this people. Later they approached him and said, let us build here stone flock pens for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves shall go equipped in battle formation before the sons of Israel until whenever we have brought them to their place, while our little ones must dwell in the cities with fortifications away from the face of the inhabitants of the land. We shall not return to our houses until the sons of Israel have provided themselves with landed property, each with his own inheritance. For we shall not get an inheritance with them from the side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has come to us from the side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. At this Moses said to them, If you will do this thing, if you will equip yourselves before Jehovah for the war, and every equipped one of yours will actually pass over the Jordan before Jehovah until he drives away his enemies from before him, and the land is actually subdued before Jehovah, and afterward you return, you also will indeed prove yourselves free from guilt against Jehovah and against Israel, and this land must become yours as a possession before Jehovah. But if you will not do this way, you will also certainly sin against Jehovah. In that case, know that your sin will catch up with you. Build for yourselves cities for your little ones and stone pens for your flocks, and what has gone forth from your mouth you should do. Then the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben said this to Moses, "Your servants will do just as my Lord is commanding. Our little ones, our wives, and our livestock, and all our domestic animals will stay there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will pass over, everyone equipped for the army, before Jehovah for the war, just as my Lord is speaking." Accordingly, Moses gave a command respecting them to Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the sons of Israel. So Moses said to them, "If the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben pass with you over the Jordan, everyone equipped for the war, before Jehovah, and the land is actually subdued before you, you must then give them the land of Gilead as a possession. But if they do not pass over equipped with you, they must then be settled in your midst in the land of Canaan." To this the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben answered, saying, "What Jehovah has spoken to your servants is the way we shall do. We ourselves will pass over equipped before Jehovah to the land of Canaan, and the possession of our inheritance will be with us on this side of the Jordan." At this Moses gave to them, that is, to the sons of Gad, and to the sons of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, the land belonging to its cities in the territories, and the cities of the land round about. And the sons of Gad proceeded to build Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aroer, and Atroth-Shophan, and Jazer, and Jogbeha, and Beth-Nimra, and Beth-Haran, cities with fortifications, and stone flock pens. And the sons of Reuben built Heshbon, and Eleale, and Kiriathaim, and Nebo, and Baal-Meon, their names being changed, and Sibma. And they began to call by their own names the names of the cities that they built. And the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, proceeded to march into Gilead, and to capture it, and to drive away the Amorites who were in it. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he took up dwelling in it. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, marched and went capturing their tent villages, and he began to call them Havoth-Jair. And Nobah marched and went capturing Kenath and its dependent towns, and he began to call it Nobah by his own name. And that's the end of Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 12 was of no significance, as far as I know. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writing to the Corinthians, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were people of the nations, you were being led away to those voiceless idols, just as you happened to be led. Therefore, I would have you know that nobody, when speaking by God's Spirit, says Jesus is accursed. And nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but there is the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and yet there is the same Lord. And there are varieties of operations, and yet it is the same God who performs all the operations in all persons. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for a beneficial purpose. For example, to one there is given through the Spirit speech of wisdom, to another speech of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by that one Spirit, to yet another operations of powerful works, to another prophesying, to another discernment of inspired utterances, to another different tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these operations the one and the same Spirit performs, making a distribution to each one respectively, just as it wills. For just as the body is one but has many members, and all the members of that body, although being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. For truly by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink one spirit. For the body indeed is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am no part of the body, it is not for this reason no part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am no part of the body, it is not for this reason no part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If it were all hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members in the body, each one of them, just as he pleased. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. But much rather is it the case that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and the parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, these we surround with more abundant honor. And so our unseemly parts have the more abundant comeliness, whereas our comely parts do not need anything. Nevertheless, God compounded the body, giving honor more abundant to the part which had a lack, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the other members suffer with it. Or if a member is glorified, all the other members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and members individually, and God has set the respective ones in the congregation. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then, powerful works. Then, gifts of healings, helpful services, abilities to direct, different tongues. Not all are apostles, are they? Not all are prophets, are they? Not all are teachers, are they? Not all perform powerful works, do they? Not all have gifts of healings, do they? Not all speak in tongues, do they? Not all are translators, are they? But keep zealously seeking the greater gifts, and yet I show you a surpassing way. That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the surpassing way is coming up in chapter 13. So that's the end of our study for today, little ones. We've got 10 minutes left. And I want to talk about DLPA, which is a phenylalanine, a form of amino acid, the L form. The L in the DLPA stands for a form of phenylalanine, which is an essential amino acid in the body. And it helps, I believe, with various important things to do with the mood of a human who obtains this amino acid. But the D form of the phenylalanine, the D signifies a form which is not, as far as I understand it, it's not essential, but it is an excellent painkiller because it enables the body's natural opiates to provide painkilling without any addictive properties or any negative consequences in many people. In other words, many people, those who have no reaction to the DPA, phenylalanine, and it's part of the DLPA, which you can purchase. Those who don't react negatively to it can use it as a painkiller. And it's a highly effective painkiller, actually. Highly effective, compared to morphine even, in its effectiveness, and yet with no side effects in many people. In fact, it improves the health, because it contains the essential amino acid, phenylalanine, the L form. But we have also the possibility of killing pain by, if we can't get DLPA, which you can obtain if you can order it somehow, or online, for example, you can get it at different places that I've seen. But if you can't get that, you can use the property that proteins have, such as meats, which have many amino acids once your body breaks them down. Proteins can be used to generate amino acids in the body naturally. And you can also alternatively take an amino acid supplement which contains 22 or more essential amino acids for the body's usage And that, those two things, the proteins and the amino acids, either one of them or both, can also reduce pain. So, and as I mentioned, DLPA is perhaps, well, I would say just possibly the best painkiller known to man. I mean, it's only for those, though, who can actually use it without side effects, which is essentially many people. So I wanted to mention that because that was absolutely something that I learned very recently. And I am planning to try that myself, actually, for my particular pain with my tooth, which I believe is associated with the tooth. So that's, and my dentist believes it too. So we have some different other people who aren't so sure. But whatever the source is of the pain, it can be, the pain can be eliminated using DLPA, or greatly reduced using DLPA, or proteins, or amino acid supplements, with the greater preference, or the greater benefit believed to come from DLPA compared to the other ways of obtaining it. But eating meats and taking amino acid supplements, for those who cannot obtain DLPA, should be also an option for consideration. So that's what I wanted to say about DLPA, which is so exciting, and I'm waiting to receive some at the moment. I've received my amino acid supplement, which was an amino acid supplement that contains 23 different amino acids that I'm taking to see if that will reduce my pain, and while I wait for the DLPA to arrive. And then I'll be very careful when I start taking that. But the amino acid supplement is something I took before. It's called Freeminos by True Hope. And that's just about all I have to say, or all that I know about that. But there's an article that you can research it. If you can get to the internet and research, if you have an online, if you have the internet available to you, you can research it using Google, and you may find some of the medical articles the research articles that have been done on DLPA, and you might find I know there's an article on, or there was very recently an article on doctoryourself.com also. You can do a site search using the word site, S-I-T-E, with a full colon after it, and then the name of the website, such as doctoryourself.com, for example. And if you then put a space and then put DLPA, you'll almost certainly find it, or whatever you're searching for, you'll find it using the word site with a full colon after it, immediately followed without a space by the website name, such as doctoryourself.com or willofjehovah.com. You don't need to put in any of the other www or http. You don't need to put that in to do a site search using Google. Okay. Well, it's been a great study. We're now at 29 minutes. We have 4 minutes, roughly, remaining. It's August 1st, 2023, 2003 hours. I feel better today. I don't know whether it's because I took the amino acids or not. I feel better a little bit, but I mean much stronger, even though I don't feel without some discomfort or pain and inflammation or whatever. I don't have the headache right now, which is good, but I don't know whether or how much the amino acids have contributed to my increase in strength. I have a slight amount of tooth pain. I'm not chewing. I'm trying to eat liquid food or very soft food. I've had some pea soup I got some habitant pea soup, and I added onions and a bay leaf and some thyme and garlic. One of my hard drives just started up, and I added some salt. And that makes slightly more flavorable pea soup. But I found, I should try adding butter. Butter always increases the flavor of these soups. It's an excellent way to make a, and also add chicken stock is another excellent, excellent way to make a soup, especially from scratch. But even, as I just thought now, possibly adding chicken stock to a soup that came out of a can is a possibility. It might taste very good. The habitant pea soup comes from a can. And it's a very good soup on its own. You don't need to add anything to it. But since I have onions, I'm adding them. And since I have garlic, which is a more processed form of garlic, either fermented or something, in a jar. So I think they're excellent sources of healthy nutrients. That's why I'm adding them. And the bay leaf for flavor and also for nutrients. So that's my pea soup that I'm making recently. But I've also made bean dish and lentil soup and different things like that, which are very soft and easy to chew. I'm much stronger, even though doing my videos will take a toll on me every time when I'm not at full strength, which is true of me right now. But it really helps to be a little bit stronger. Then I can do my video and survive much easier. The benefit, like I said before, of being sick is because I can't do as much actual physical work or active work, you know, where I actually do research. I can't really do much of that. I can do some, but I just can't work at full capacity, at full strength. And when that's the case, then I can, that's the time to do all the watching of movies. The ones I've missed out on are the new movies that are just coming out. That's the time to do those things and to catch up on, well, it's the time to catch up on research too. Not the high pressure research, or, you know, not the research that requires full strength, but all sorts of research can also be done during these times when I'm not busy doing too many other things. And the temperature's dropped. It's much cooler here now in August, as I mentioned, I believe, recently too. We're at the end of our study. As I mentioned, it's August the 1st. 20:07 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green saying, I love you. And I hope you enjoy your day. This is on my behalf, Star and Cammie saying, bye for now.